welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 6. It's talking about Jesus going back to his hometown here. It says, "Then he, Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.' Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." That's an interesting response. But you know, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we see Jesus marveled, but he didn't get offended and go away. No, he went about teaching the word of God. But as we look at this passage, we see something bigger at work here. We see Jesus, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we celebrate every Christmas. The Word, God, became flesh and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. So here they are. They are in the presence of God in the flesh, who does all these mighty works. And they look at him, but they only know him according to the flesh. And that's why they said, you know, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother, you know, the family? We grew up with this guy. We know who he is. They just knew him in a natural sense. They were familiar with him. And they couldn't see past their own familiarity with him to appreciate who he is, who he was at that time. And Jesus said, you know, prophet is not without honor except in his own country. There's that familiarity that gets in the way. And he said he could do no mighty work, basically because of their unbelief. Basically because of the way they received him, he could only do so much according to that, because they were offended. They were mad. And so Jesus was limited in what he was able to do. He did some things. There were some people he was able to get through to and minister to a few sick people, but it wasn't the mighty works. Now, it's easy to think, man, I'll tell you what, if I would have been back in that day, I wouldn't have done that. I would have recognized and I would have just been there and, you know, amen. And there were people that did, and they got it right. But let's look at our opportunity. The scripture says this about the word. The word of God, and that word there is logos, the written word of God, is living and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints, marrow. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word isn't guessing, the word knows. The word can tell you what's flesh, what's spirit. The word is sharp, and it is alive, and it's powerful. The written word is living and powerful. It's describing this. Now, in the same thought, he goes on to say, it switches from the logos, the written word of God, to the person of the word, all right? And it goes on to say, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Now, we're talking about Jesus. We were talking about Jesus. We still are talking about Jesus. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's Jesus. This is one thought that starts with the logos, the written word, and ends with the person of Jesus, who we're going to give an account to someday. Same word. All right? And what do we find out about that word? That word is living and it's powerful. The Logos is living and powerful. And we're going to give an account to him. You can see the continuity of thought between the Word of God that we understand is our Bible and the person of Jesus. And that's what we looked at in the beginning. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it went to his hometown. And they didn't receive him. They just saw him according to the flesh with a familiarity. Now again, I kind of go back and say, man, I'll tell you what. If I'm in the presence of the Word, you know, I'm not going to be that way. And this is where this message really comes out of. Because a lot of times, I've found myself in my faith, going along, and all of a sudden, it's just like, there's no mighty works going on in my life. Maybe just a few little things, and it's like, there's something that's almost stale or just not fresh at all about my faith. And I've been caught sometimes, because what can happen to us is similar to what happened to the folks in Jesus' hometown. You know, it's like you're going along and you're struggling with something, and maybe you're dealing with a fear or something, and, you know, somebody's saying, yeah, you know, I love that promise that says, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, and you're going, yeah, I know, but a power of love and a sound mind. I know that. I'm familiar with that. I grew up with that. That was in my hometown. I know that word. I'm just saying, we get our chance too. Jesus is here. He's living. He's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And all the thing that can turn on is just your respect for the Word of God. Nothing new here. No new theology. What you already know. But a fresh sense of respect and awareness. The Word is living and powerful. I'm going to give an account to the Word someday. Is living. It's not ink on paper. The Word is living and powerful. Not to know it according to the natural, ink and paper, flesh type of a thing, but to realize it's living and powerful. To see past the paper and the ink. To see fresh and again the words that are true. And this morning, that's kind of what I want to do. I just want to spark fresh faith this morning and get you a little hungry at the same time. But fresh faith. You can have stale faith. You can have fresh faith. And be intentional about getting stirred up in faith and having a fresh faith again. You know, we were saying, God is for you. It's like, yeah, that's true. God is for me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. There really isn't anything. What am I doing? This isn't anything new. I'm getting stirred up on what I already know. I'm getting a fresh faith, a fresh stirring up. And I'm telling you what, as you live for God, there are cycles where you are going to stir yourself up again. And sometimes you get stirred up. Sometimes you bump into things that'll stir you up in your faith. A simple trust in God, on purpose, making your heart vulnerable to the Word of God in areas of your life all over again. You know, we've looked at some previous messages where, man, all you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me. You'll find rest for your souls. There's some times that we just need to come find rest and strengthening and refreshing in those still waters to restore our soul, to get back, and to be able to go into those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need that sometimes. There's other times where we're stale and we're tired and we need to get stirred up. Again, there's no really new theology here. It's stirred up in what you already know, that it's true. That it's not just familiar, but it's real. It's true. Just like Jesus. To get that picture. God in the flesh. Yeah. Power, love, and a sound mind. Yes. Power, love, and a sound mind. Really. Praise God. So this is just a simple message this morning about getting stirred up. with fresh faith. These are things that you know. Here's some ways that we can do that. There's a fresh enthusiasm the scripture talks about. Hebrews chapter 6 says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance." You know, there is nothing quite powerful like an example. It's wonderful to see and hear about stories of people who've gone before us that inspire faith. And that's what the Hebrew writer says. Look at people who've done things. Look at their example. Let that example speak to you. So let's take a look at a couple quick examples in the Word of God that we see that. One of them comes from a story Jesus told his disciples. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God or cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? I love this story. I love Jesus told us this story. What is he talking about? He's talking about a faith that's not giving up. He told them intentionally a story to show that they should pray and never give up. Now, this is how he's defining faith. Jesus, you know, ends this whole story by saying, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find this kind of faith on the earth? What kind of faith, Jesus? What are you talking about? The kind of faith that will come repeatedly, that there's a believing, that there is a heart that knows in a tenacity that is staying with it. There was something motivating this widow that she believed she's going to get justice. She just didn't give up. She wouldn't give up. It's a faith that doesn't give up. Jesus was telling a story as an example for us about a faith that doesn't give up. Are we tempted to give up? Yes. There would have been many spiritual people that could come around in this story and say, "Sorry, you know, sweetheart, you know, but if it's obviously not the will of God, or you would have gotten justice by now. You prayed and it didn't happen. Therefore, it's the sovereign will of God that you don't get justice in this case." Theology right here. She wouldn't stop at that theology. She would keep going and going. There was something in her heart. There was something of promise. There was something of substance that was real to her. Jesus, she believed. She wasn't seeing the word in the paper and some theological thing and almost sort of the flesh where you're going to try something. There was something deeper than that. There is something deeper, and she was holding on to something that fueled her faith. Repeatedly. That's faith, Jesus says. He calls that faith. That blesses him. It doesn't matter what your faith critics say. It doesn't matter how they characterize your faith. Repeatedly, you're going after something that you know. Getting stirred up. We all experience seasons of getting stale. And like, "Oh, I tried, I don't." Enthusiasm. What did he say? He said, "Don't lose your enthusiasm. Yeah, you prayed. And yeah, it didn't come to pass. Let me tell you a story. It's okay. You keep, get back up again. Get back up again and be stirred up. There is faith. There is a patience that's involved in inheriting the promises of God." But I love that. I remember hearing a story of a teacher of Bible school. He said, "Man, we were in need of a car, the transportation. You know, they were kind of just brand new, and they were coming to Bible school, and they just really needed this. And so They knew that God met their needs according to his riches and glory, that they held on to the promises of God. And he said, we just believed God. And he said, you know, believed God for this car so that they could have transportation and go where they needed to go. And he said, I'm believing God. But this is what he said. He said, I'm believing God that I'm going to have this by such and such a date and such a time. And so he's believing God, and it's getting close to that date, and he's going, wow, this is going to happen real close. It's going to happen any day now. Wow, I believe with all my heart God's going to meet this need, you know, and it was the day of, and, you know, it was, you know, getting close and thinking, man, goodness, somebody's going to come to the door any moment now, you know, and it's getting to be like 10 o'clock at night, and he's looking at the clock and thinking, man, that phone's going to ring any time, you know, something's just going to break, you know, he said, and then it turned midnight, and he said his faith fell. And he said, oh, man, Lord, I know you're true to your word. I know you promise certain things. And, you know, he said he just kind of went to sleep. But that's where he said his faith kind of fell. It kind of got stale. It's like, I tried and I believed and I did. And he said the Lord just began to deal with him. Because as he was crying out to God, he's asking about him. He said, Lord, I prayed. I believed. I did what you said. I took you at your word. I, you know, did everything I knew to do. And he said the Lord spoke to his heart. He said, yeah, you did. You did take me at my word. In fact, you were doing really well until midnight. He said, pick that back up again. You know, we don't call the terms and the shots. We believe that he is faithful to perform what he had promised. That's our part. We don't throw extra constraints on that. We just believe. We just stand in faith. He just remembered learning something from that at that point in time. You know, it's like, okay, if you don't deliver by this time, then it's not true. No, we're just standing in faith. He's God, we're not. We're taking him at his word. And you know what? When you're standing, it's not just a matter of patience. You're being changed. You're growing. You're being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your faith is getting tested, and you're standing some tests, and you're getting stronger on the inside in ways you don't even realize. But there's a repeated. She came repeated, and he said eventually he picked that back up, and it wasn't long. They did receive that. They did receive the car. They did receive that need that they had, answered prayer. But he realized that, you know, there's a repeatedness. There is a diligence, but to not lose your enthusiasm, to not let that. You know, there's a song that has kind of come out recently, Matthew West, called Don't Stop Praying. It says, what's your impossible? Your I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging on by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now that it weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried, your tears run dry, the answer won't come, and you don't know why. And you wonder if you can bow your head one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep pounding heaven's door. Let your knees wear out the floor. Don't stop believing, because your mountains move with just a little faith, and your Father's heard every single word you're saying. Don't stop praying. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Alpha, the Omega, he knows how your story ends. There is that exhortation. There is, don't get sluggish. Don't lose your enthusiasm. Jesus called it. Now, when you're in the middle of that, and she keeps coming back for the judge, there's something in her that believes she's going to get that justice. That's faith is what that is. And she's an example that we look at in the story. Here's another great example, though, too. There was a crowd. This is Jesus in his earthly ministry. There was a crowd that day when a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years, she had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors. Yet in spite of spending all she had on their treatments, she was not getting any better but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd, came up from behind him, and touched his prayer shawl. For she kept saying to herself, if I could only touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that always surged around him had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples answered, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're pressing up against you." But Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle realized what had happened to her, she came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet saying, "I was the one who touched you." And she told him her story of what had just happened. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering." What a beautiful picture this is, too. I mean, this gets into our heart and our mind as it relates to believing God. But what the way he said it, "Daughter, because you dared to believe." I heard somebody say this, you know, if you dare to believe God, God will pass over 1 million people just to get to you. There's something about believing God, trusting God, that you're putting your heart on the line. This is exactly what happened here. People were pressing up against Jesus who had all kind of needs, but power wasn't going out from him. You could be pressing up against Jesus because there's a fascination with Jesus. The crowd is after Jesus. It's popular to be with Jesus. There's a lot of different reasons you can be part of that crowd and pressing up him. None of those things makes the power go out. But what did she do? She said in her heart, you know, she said, "If I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed." She's daring to believe. You're on purpose making your heart vulnerable. We live in a world, and we live in a church many times, that'll say, "Don't get your hopes up." God says, "Get your hopes up. Make your heart vulnerable again to the Word of God. Don't give up." Jesus said, "Don't give up." When the Son of Man returns, I love that. Sometimes we'll get into theological dispensational truths. Well, that was great back in the Bible days. This is Bible days. Wasn't that? If you lived back in the Bible days, that would be great. You know, you'd experience that kind of stuff. No, Jesus breaks all those little Bible day dispensations and he says, when the Son of Man returns, when he comes back to now, will he find that kind of faith on the earth? That wasn't just Bible day faith. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find this kind of faith that doesn't give up on the earth? It's for now. It's for us. It's for our putting our hearts on the line. Say, "Okay, God, here I go again. I'm not going to lose that enthusiasm. I'm going to stir up. I'm going to stir myself up. I'm going to look at some of these examples." She pushed through the crowd. She knew in her heart what she believed. And her motive, when she touched up against him, she touched up with the heart cry of daring to believe. Daring to believe God. Praise God. The other aspect, when we're talking about just fresh faith, there is a fresh enthusiasm that just comes as we say, "Okay, here we go again. We're going after this again. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up." But there's also what we'd call a fresh diligence that relates to our faith as well, too. Scripture puts it this way, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that both he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him." I love that. That's a message. In other words, you believe that he is and he's a rewarder. You believe that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. In other words, I'm diligent for a reason. I'm diligent because I believe that there is a reward. There is something on the other side of my seeking. This is a proverb that says, "The lazy man does not roast what he took hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession." I just want to connect these thoughts together because you have something that nobody can take away from you. Diligence is a man's precious possession. I don't care how good things are going right now. I don't care how bad things are going right now. One thing that is static that you have that no one can take away from you is your diligence. Your ability to decide to do something and to be diligent about it. When our faith gets stale, we kind of feel like we've lost control and I'm just floating along and the winds are blowing me along and I'm just... Diligence does something to me. Again, no matter where I'm at, and the spectrum or the scale, I got something. I can choose to be diligent about something. I got a starting point. It's my precious possession. Nobody can take it away from me. You could criticize me. You could be critical of me. You know, like that we were singing, "God is for you. Who can be against you?" Do you know you got people that are for you? And you got people that are against you. But God is for you. God is for you. Somebody put it this way once. If God is for you, what difference does it make who's against you? You know, God is for you. You're holding all the cards. If God is for you, God is for you. Get stirred up in that simple truth. Diligence is a man's precious possession. I got cause to be diligent. God is for me. What does that mean, diligence? It means I'm going to invest some time. I'm going to get focused. And this is what, when I look at that idea of being diligent, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not a rewarder of faith theology. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is just getting stirred up again in what you know, what you believe about God. But what does the scripture say? Do not be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. This is one of the things that can wake us up spiritually in terms of being with a fresh faith to realize I've got this precious possession called diligence. What am I going to do with this? It's almost like a tool in my box. I'm going to sow to the Spirit with it. I'm not sowing to the Spirit to feel good. I'm not sowing to the Spirit to, you know, I'm sowing to the Spirit because I believe he's a rewarder. I'm planting a crop because I believe there's a harvest. I'm sowing to the Spirit because his word is true and I will reap. I will reap. This works in your life no matter where you're at. You can sow to the Spirit and reap life and strength for wisdom, for knowledge to overcome things in your life. There is a diligence, a fresh diligence to just simply sow to the Spirit, to simply, in what you're doing here today, coming to church on a Sunday morning, listening to the Word of God, listening to worship music, praying from your heart, expressing your heart to God, doing things that are sowing to the Spirit. That's a powerful thing. And when you're doing it again with that expectance. Why? Because you believe he's a rewarder. I grew up on a strawberry farm. And every, you know, spring we'd go and we'd have to do the same drill every year. We'd uncover, first of all the strawberry plants from the straw, from the straw that was on the top of them. And then we would do all of our weeding. And if it was a fresh field, we'd plant fresh plants and do everything that we did. But we weren't just working to work. There is a working with an expectation. The farmer plants with an expectation of that harvest. There is something about it. What am I talking about? Fresh diligence. In other words, okay, I checked my box. I did the devotion time thing and I read the chapter thing. What is it? It's just, I'm just saying, holding up my hand, stale faith is good at checking boxes. But there's something about a fresh faith that says, no, Jesus is alive and present in these words. Lord, I'm not going to lose my enthusiasm. I'm not going to lose my diligence. I'm not just doing something. I'm not just touching him to touch him. I'm touching him with faith, believing that I will be healed. I believe that I will be healed. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Praise God. That's a promise from God. That's healing promise from God. Have I had situations where I prayed and not everybody got healed? Yes, that's happened. Do I allow my faith to get stale because of that? No. The promise is still true. God's word is still true. These are things where you stir yourself up. Do I have some why God questions about some stuff? Sure, there's some things I don't know about everything. But this is about my faith, my time, Ed House, here from beginning date to end date. What am I going to do? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in my life? Will he find me still taking him at his word, regardless of what has happened around me? These are the questions that we personally have to answer to stir ourselves up in faith. Are we just going to log our time and get to the end knowing the living God was in our presence? Jesus was in our presence, alive and powerful. This is a personal heart check time. This is where we can choose to get stirred up in faith. Now is the time. Now is the time to make some decisions, to get stirred up in my faith again, to believe again. Praise God. Yes, let me tell you this too. I've prayed over people and they've gotten healed. Many people have gotten healed and instantaneously. What do you do with them? It's right in line with the Word of God. Don't be afraid to take God at his word. You know, there's been just a lot of anti-faith teaching in the church that has been nothing more than spiritual cowardice. And I'll say this, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man returns, that's endgame. Will he find this kind of faith on the earth? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Because we intentionally stir ourselves up again to believe God. What is this? This is just a message this morning to encourage you to believe God again. Don't let it stay stale. Let your faith be fresh bread. That fragrance, that fresh smell. You know, sometimes you can bump into you when you had fresh faith. Have you ever had that happen before? I have. If you've ever journaled, I've had that where I've journaled some amazing things. I'm at this amazing place with God. My prayers are getting answered. And I'm journaling it all down. It's like, wow, and I'm just getting revelation from God. And then I go through a dry season. Maybe something didn't happen or I didn't get an answer. And I'm frustrated and I'm going through some old stuff. And I bump into this old journal, this old blue book journal. It's like, oh my goodness. And I'm reading through it. And I'm getting stirred up again. It's like, who is this guy? That was me with fresh faith. We can get stirred up again in our faith. We don't just have to go through to the end. We can finish strong, strong in faith. Get stirred up. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There is fruit that we reap. There's a faith that is a fruit of the Spirit that we experience. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You're experiencing faith simply by getting your eyes in these words. I've had that happen too, where I've mentioned this, you know, where I'm stuck and I'm stale, and the Lord just says, Ed, stop trying to be spiritual. Go where spiritual is. Get your eyes on the Word of God. Begin to just do some things by faith. Begin to get stirred up. Just begin to worship God by faith. Just begin to speak things that are true that maybe you it would feel like a lie, but you know it's true. God, I do believe in you. I do love you. I agree with your Word. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Your love is right here. It is present with me, Lord. You are a good shepherd. I believe that, Lord. Saying it out loud. Praise God. I believe, therefore I have spoken. What am I doing? I'm sowing to the Spirit. I'm stirring up faith. I'm not going to let go. I'm going to be like that widow who repeatedly continued to go after God to get stirred up in her faith. So we're seeing here that there is a diligence that I'm going to go after it. There's a diligence in that sowing. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. Is this still true? Yeah. Would it be easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for this to pass away? Yes, this hasn't passed away. It was the same yesterday, it's the same today, it's the same forever. I'm stirring myself up in the Word of God. Praise God. I'll tell you what, this is where we're intentional. This is where we're believing God again. This is between you and God. I'm not telling you anything about your business. But there is a second sermon of the Holy Spirit who is maybe talking to you this morning about your business. That's what we were praying about this morning. Let my voice through. You chose to be here this morning. You chose to put the Lord first on a Sunday morning like this, on a beautiful day in Door County, Wisconsin. He wants to honor you. He wants to speak things to your heart. He's not condemning. He's not shaming. He's a good shepherd. He's loving and kind, but he will lovingly and gently, with his wisdom that's from above, that's pure and peaceable and gentle, he'll say, pick that up again. Pick that up again. But I believe God. Yeah, and you were doing good. Pick it up again. He still moves mountains.
Yeah. Do you take testimonies?
Not right now. Maybe toward the end, but not. But I'll tell you what. But thank you for that. I appreciate that. I can tell you what. When God moves mountains, He'll begin to stir on your heart. He'll begin to stir on your heart and say, "Okay, pick that up again. You can do that. You got a choice." I found myself going, "I'm looking at this mountain." It could be a mountain, it could be a relationship mountain, it could be a financial mountain, it could be, you know, an addiction mountain. And you can look at that mountain and be mesmerized by your mountain. Or you can move. I know I'm going to break this trance. And I'm going to stir up in faith again. And now the mountain isn't the biggest thing. There is something that can move mountains. It can move mountains. Faith can move mountains. Faith can move mountains. And so when we're talking about you and your mountain, it's like, okay, I'm finding myself under the mountain. I'm going to stir up. I'm going to speak to that mountain. Whatever that is, begin to declare some things that the Word of God says are true. God is greater. He is greater than he that's in this world. He does meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. If I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's going to add whatever I need to me. First things first, he's going to show me. I'm stirred up in that faith. I'm stirred up in what he has shown me. I'm stirred up in what he has put on the inside of me. Praise God. Have faith in God. Whoever says this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. This is still true. And he's speaking some things to your hearts. He's guiding some things in your spirit. Let that voice through this morning. Let him show you what to pick up again. There's a fresh stirring. And there's one other aspect of this that I want to say too about diligence and fresh diligence. We know something about Jesus. This is just revisiting who Jesus is. Seeing then we have a great high priest, this is our Lord, who we're going to give account to someday, the Word of God, who's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses, listen to this, and our infirmities and our liabilities to the assaults of temptation. But one who's been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When I'm stirring up faith, I'm coming boldly to that throne of grace to get grace and mercy to help in time of need. But look what's highlighted in blue there. Jesus had a body like ours. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does that mean? It means he experienced temptation in every point as we are. He didn't have a certain kind of body that was immune to temptation. In all points, he had to be made like his brothers. That's us. So that he could be a merciful and faithful high priest. So he'd have that shared feeling, that understanding of what we're going through. Because I'm telling you what, when you make a decision to put the Word of God first place in your life again, Satan comes immediately to try to steal that word. That's the thing that he does. So there's a diligence to believe God again, but there is a diligence to protect that word, to protect that faith. I'm not just going to get run over again. No, I am going to be vigilant as it relates to the assaults of temptation. The assault. I like that word, assaults. You don't plan for an assault. You're going about your day and you're assaulted. That's the way the enemy is. Temptation is an assault. And you're in faith and you're assaulted. And then all of a sudden you got a decision to make. What am I going to do about this? Here's an example of what an assault looks like. Be sober, be vigilant, because because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. The Passion says, take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. This is something that I just want to encourage you to, as you decide, okay, I'm going to believe God again. Just like the woman who touched him and believed that she's going to be healed. I'm going to believe God again. I'm shaking the stale faith. I'm going to choose to get stirred up in the Word of God. I'm going to go where spiritual is. I'm going to let the Spirit of God minister and work on my heart and my mind. There is an enemy who does go about like a roaring lion. Now, look, think of this. This is a perfect example. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Again, lions. If they're going to devour, what does that sound like? That sounds like an assault. A lion doesn't make an appointment to devour. A lion hides and sneaks and assaults. That's what lions do. That's what we experience. It's not an appointment. It's a blindside. It's you see something. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you're mentally and emotionally in a completely different place than faith. But to be forewarned is to be forearmed. When you make a strong stand of faith, the enemy does come immediately to try to steal that word. To say, okay, I know he's coming after me. I'm experiencing a place of faith, but I'm also going to be on guard. I'm going to be sober. I'm going to be vigilant. There is this faith, and I know that there's an enemy who wants. The devil doesn't care how you feel. He doesn't care whether you're up or down or happy or sad. He cares about one thing, your faith. Your faith is the most powerful thing as it relates to his kingdom. He'll give you stuff to make you feel good. He'll give you things to get worked up and feel bad about. Feelings are not a threat to him. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. I'm not getting all stirred up and mad, and the enemy's going to go, oh, wow, he's really mad. I better get away. He doesn't care about anger. He loves anger. He's the master of it. He plays on it, all right? That doesn't matter to you. Your faith is what matters to him. It's when he stirs you up and mad, and you hold on to your faith. This thing happens, he attacks you, and you're still holding on to your faith. And you're still holding on to your faith. Well, when I do that, when I push this, he'll play like a video game controller. That thing happens, or this thing happens. And the priest said, nope, I'm holding on to my faith. I'm vigilant. Because I know he's coming after my faith. He's coming after my trust in Jesus, my holding on to his word. Are you going to experience some attack? What I'm saying is, are you going to experience some attack when you decide to believe again? Yeah, you will. But be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, steadfast. Knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're all going through this stuff together. Take that decisive stand against him. And as you're doing that, as you're taking that decisive stand, that's when you're saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to skip over a couple verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to what? The obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. Back to the word. Why? Because I believe something about this word. I don't just believe it's old ink on paper. I don't believe it according to the flesh. It's not just old familiar things that I grew up with. No, there's something living and powerful about this word that I'm bringing those thoughts into captivity to the obedience. You know, bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of that word. And so, yeah, are there going to be some attacks? There is going to be some attacks. But I'm telling you what, that's where, praise God, we get stirred up. That's where we decide ahead of time, I'm not going to let anything steal this faith. I'm going to protect this faith. Fresh faith, there is a fresh enthusiasm. And again, I'm just telling on me, cycles, different things like that. I've had to find myself where I can get sluggish, but I can choose to look at examples of faith. And I'm telling you what, those can be really good. Sometimes, you know, one of the things that'll just spark faith to me is like testimonials and testimonial stories and things like that, that will spark a faith. Say, hey, praise God, there is a fresh faith. There is a fresh diligence. There's a fresh thing that I can look at and see and be blessed by. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, the God of all comfort can give us supernatural glimpses by his Spirit in a way that comforts us. And, you know, you can be grieving sometimes, and there can be people that love you and they care about you and they want to comfort you, but a lot of times their comfort can only go so far. But there's a comfort of the Holy Spirit that can go all the way to the center and heal and restore. There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation that can show you comforting spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'll tell you what, God will give us those spirits of spirit of wisdom and revelation too, even as it relates to the things that we're believing for. Do you know that when you begin to go in a direction of faith, I heard somebody put this way one time when it comes to moving mountains. He said, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would move it. Takes a little imagination, doesn't it? Do you know it's not New Agey to go and to imagine things that are in line with the Word of God? Amen. It's not. There are vain imaginations that are self-glorifying. There are demonic imaginations. But when you set your mind on things above, it's okay to go there. It's okay to see things, to believe and to see by faith things, to see the answer to your prayer. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's daring to believe. In fact, when you go back into the Hebrew, that great passage in Isaiah 26:3, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. That literally means technically creative imaginations is stayed on me. There is a godly imagination that is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you begin to pursue him and put things back, he'll give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He'll begin to see yourself whole physically. He'll begin to see yourself free financially. He'll begin to see yourself, relationships healed. It's exciting when that happens. I remember I was driving to work on Hardee's as a teenager and wanted my friend so badly to get saved and praying for him. I was just listening to a song came on the radio. And I can still remember it was Sweet Adoration. It came on the radio and all of a sudden I saw my friend lifting his hands and worshiping God. It's like, wow. And 3 months later, he was at church lifting his hands, worshiping God to the song, I Exalt Thee. And I remember the Spirit of God saying, Ed, remember when you were in the car? I showed you that? Yeah. You know what's the Spirit of God will show us things to come? That's scriptural. Jesus said he would. Believe to go there. That's what I'm saying. Let his voice through. Let those divine, godly imaginations that you see. If I may touch him, I will be healed. Bleeding all those years, she had to have seen something that she was acting on that believed her. What is it? It's a fresh faith. When you're stirred up, you're seeing something. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to just serve my time down here. I am going to finish strong. And if the Son of Man comes while I'm still on here, he's going to find me in faith. Amen? Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can be stirred up, fresh faith. And I don't know what that means for all of us. It's different things for each of us. We know those areas of our heart. Maybe we feel like we've maybe been hurt. Maybe we felt betrayed by you. We took you at your word and it struck midnight and it didn't happen, Father God. Well, Lord, we believe this morning you're good. You're still good. You're true. You love us. Nothing can separate us from that love. And Lord, we want to have a heart that goes after you again, a fresh faith. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. You are for me. I believe that. In the face of my questions, your word is true. The word of God does not hinge on one person's experience. The word of God hinges on your spirit, on your word, the fact that you said it. Jesus, you are here. My Bible is here. It's not ink and paper. It's living and powerful. I choose to not simply be familiar with it. I choose to not see ink and paper. I choose to believe that the presence of the Word is present in the Scriptures. And I believe again. I trust again. I speak to mountains again. And I diligently protect my heart again. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one jot or tittle of his word to pass away. That's a place of the heart we have to keep coming back to over and over again. I don't care how real it's been to you. You live in this world, it's like that three-month oil change in your car. You just got to keep coming back and getting your heart tuned to that precious reality. I thank God for people in my life who challenged me that the Bible is the Word of God throughout my life, different ministers, preachers, friends. I am thankful for their admonitions to remind me of that. If you're kind of wondering about how to get stirred up in the Word, read Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119, biggest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses, but it's all stirring up on the powerful preciousness of the Word of God. Praise God.